Blog Talk Radio.
Here comes the big bad wolf.
And it grows on me more and more and more the more I hear it. They're by Robodrum. You can find them on Facebook. They also have a SoundCloud if you want to get that song. Just a little word of warning, though, their other music is a little more techno-punky, not quite like that. Anyway, hey, everybody, it's Christo. Chef Christo here. Another show, very exciting show. Can't wait. Got a really exciting guest today. I'm going to have to go over my format here one more time because I haven't done it yet, but I'm going to do it maybe one day. But I'm going to try to talk about what's fresh and tasty, exploring what's in season now and what's going to be in season in the future. But, you know, when I have such exciting guests, I don't need to do this. So, anyway, if I did, we talked about grilling and what's cooking in my kitchen. And my most important thing, my favorite little topic, got to feed the kid. Because, you know, I've got this kid over here, and he's got to eat, and I like to give him good-tasting things. Anyway, still cold in New York here. New York hasn't given up on winter, so I don't know what's happening there. But we have an exciting guest. My guest today, she believes in living life out loud. She likes to enjoy every single aspect of her life. She's a busy, busy blogger, busy, busy woman. Out drinking, wining, and dining. She's the founder and editor of Your Home. Everybody, welcome Carrie Ingalls. Hey, Carrie.
Hey, how are you?
Not bad at all. How are you doing? I know it's a little bit early for you.
It is. It's not too bad. I want to tell you, I love your music.
It's not bad. Isn't
your
that kind of good?
Yeah,
I want to
like
blow
it.
Your house down. That's pretty good. I like it. It's growing on me. I want to just thank Brilliant Ideas Radio for finding that song for me. I know this band is from Poland.
Oh,
it's this song really. Their other stuff is really techno. If you were to hear it, it's just who knows what constitutes a good song or a hit. But if I were a hit picker, I'd pick this one.
I like it.
Anyway, how's everything going out there in the West?
Things are good, and you know,
spring already, right?
We are. You said winter just doesn't want to give up its grip. We are, I think, looking at about 60 degrees today, and the sun is going to come out, make an appearance, and we're really happy.
That's so exciting. Well, we've got cloudy and 46 here in New York. It's supposed to maybe get up to 63, but I was outside earlier. It's not bad, but there's a cold wind. There's still
mm-hmm.
that North Canada cold wind thing outside, and you can just feel it. Well, so tell us a little about yourself here. I know you just recently revamped your blog. It was At Home, right? Now it's Your Home.
Uh-huh. It's right. It's Your Home with Carrie Ingalls. I did a complete and total revamp. We are still adding different categories and different things to the site. Apparently, we just can't make up our mind. We just can't put enough on there. We have a lot of new things happening. We have completely taken our travel section and we are broadening it to, you know, destinations. We are traveling. We're traveling local. We're traveling far away. We want to bring people, our readers, the best of what's out there.
That sounds so cool. You have an amazing staff here, your creative team. You've got a garden and recipe contributor. You've got a health and fitness. You've got someone who's just a contributor, Jacob. Mm-hmm. He's just your man on the street.
Just a contributor.
I'm reading it here off your page. So, yeah, you've got some great topics, food for the soul. You've got your field correspondent and a cuisine specialist. How exciting. This is growing.
It is. It is. We are very excited. Every time, every week we go through and kind of put our heads together and, okay, we have this scheduled out for the entire month. You know, this is in season this month. These are the topics that people are talking about. These are the holidays. But we still need to put our heads down and say, okay, you know, besides what's on the schedule, this, and this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
We have probably 30 pitches a day come in the email. So we need to weed through those and okay, does anything here take priority over what we already have on the board? You know, something's going to get kicked to next week or, you know.
That's the hardest part is the scheduling, right? That
something is
comes
the
in, it seems
part.
Timely at the moment, and then something else that comes in, it's a little more timely. Then suddenly that original timely one loses its timeliness. You know, it'd be nice just to publish everything all the time, but it's, yeah.
But I don't have
that
many
like,
hours
just,
a day.
Right. So
right.
This weekend you went to a Taste Washington event that was joining forces with the Red Cross there, and that horrible mudslide that happened.
Yes.
We'll talk about that, but we'll talk about the Taste Washington event. How was that?
It was phenomenal. Taste Washington is the event every year that I do not want to miss. It is at the CenturyLink Event Center, and it's large enough, the capacity, to hold such a capacity of people that there's enough room to walk, there's enough room to talk, to mix and mingle, where a lot of our venues here in Seattle, it just doesn't allow for that for some of these large wine events, and they're very difficult to navigate. So Taste is my favorite because it gives us the opportunity to talk to all the winemakers, all the pourers, to learn what's coming new in the next year. To taste the foods. I mean, there are so many events where we just don't have the opportunity to actually get to the tables. So this is definitely
how many
my
days? Is this just a one-day event, or is it the whole weekend?
It's a Saturday and Sunday event.
Because I know I've gone to some things here in Manhattan at the Jacob Javits Center, which is huge, and it's overwhelming. You know, we've got
just
a different – I don't know how – you know, there's – but 4,000 patrons coming to your thing, and then just the vendors, and oh my God, for an agoraphobic like me, nightmare.
Well, this was the first year they had food trucks inside, and that was a real treat because that's not something that everyone gets to really experience. You know, unless you're in the city, out on the street every day, you don't really get to walk up to the food trucks and talk to them and see what's really on their menu and taste. You know, taste their cuisine. So this was very nice.
That is kind of cool when they've got the food trucks and all that.
Because
otherwise, you'd have to drive around and find them. And I know in places like, I think, Portland and stuff like that, they've got designated areas.
Yes, they do.
And I know I know here in Manhattan, well, every now and then there'll be like a food truck kind of convention thing. But they are spread out. You've got to know.
You've
got to find them.
Yeah. We get emails sometimes. People ask us, we're in Portland. Where are the food trucks? They're all in one spot.
So that's so cool. Let me think what else here is going on with you. You've got, I bet the farmers markets are really hot happening now. You guys are like a month ahead in terms of weather-wise. Like in Florida, they're growing season. They're growing tomatoes right now. So I wonder what's happening out there with you guys. You've already gone through asparagus season, I'm sure, or you're still in it.
We're pushing into rhubarb season. Do you know what rhubarb is?
I do know what rhubarb is.
You do.
We're
pushing into rhubarb.
Isn't it just real wild?
Is it a weed? Well, some places. I mean, yes, it does. I know when I was a kid, we'd pick it we'd pick it and walk around with it and eat it. Little sour looks on our faces. But
I thought rhubarb was poisonous unless you cooked it.
No. It's not very pleasant to eat though if it's not cooked. It's very, very sour. I don't think you can eat the leaves, but you can eat the stalks. Yes. We did it all the time.
When I was a kid, somebody told me don't eat the rhubarb raw, it's poisonous, and I never bothered to even follow up on that little fact. I just believed it.
Very sour, but It's very good.
Very sour.
No, there are just fields all season. Over the place here. Yeah.
Because it's
a pies and for pies, cocktails. People put it in their muffins. Yeah. No, our market. We know our Seattle market is open year round, and it's absolutely huge, and it's beautiful. It's gorgeous, but it's the local markets that I really love being able to visit. Everything is seasonal. I live in Orting, which is down in the Hollow, and we have several. It's just farmlands all around us. So we have a local farmers market here in Tacoma. We have small ones in Seattle and then in Puyallup. And this year we are going to be walking around and talking to the farmers. We are going to visit their farms. There are people who cannot really make the farmers market hours, whether they're working, they're just too far away, their schedules don't allow. So quite a few of the farms here do allow, you know, for people to come to their farms and buy there on site.
That's
so it's making
cool.
sure that people know. Yeah, so it's making sure that they know really what days and what times, you know, are probably the most convenient for the farmer. You know, do they need to call ahead? They can get their eggs there on site and, you know, not have to worry about fighting the crowds or visiting the markets if they just don't have the time.
What an amazingly cool service. Yes, that's such a cool thing to do. Because you're right, there are a lot of people, if, you know, Saturday or, you know, maybe some farmers markets are like in the middle of the week, one day, Wednesday or whatever it could be, but primarily Saturdays. Not everybody's off on Saturday. You know, so that's so cool. And now me, whether I'm off on Saturday or not, you know, that agoraphobic thing, I wouldn't want to go and have to deal with the crowds. I would prefer going to visit the farmer personally and just seeing things. And I want to touch on that agoraphobic thing. I don't want people to think I'm such a nutcase. I live in the most populated city in America.
right.
I can handle being outside. Just so you know, I can handle it. It's just crowds. I don't like to wait in line for buses, any of those sort of things. I want to walk to the front of the line. But that's
right. Right.
That's just a me issue. So
I was
going to
say that sounds like kingship.
Yeah. Well, you know, because for me, it's like Saturday. That's the Saturday people. So why would I want to go to the farmers market when all the Saturday people are there? You know, I have the luxury of being able to go on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or any other day of the week. You know, so being able to log on to something and contact the farmer specifically and go out there and see what they're doing, and that's better for me. And as a chef, it's way better because then I can just get a firsthand look at stuff.
And generally they will, give you a tour and show you the animals so that you can see exactly, you know, the animals, the chickens, the, you know, their crops. You can see exactly how it's grown. You know that it's not, you know, some dingy place with a bunch of crud everywhere. You know that it's a very clean, you know, where you're getting your food, and that's important. It's very important.
Well, I mean, there's a certain amount of dingy crud that goes along with a farm. You know, you're not going to get there. It's not going to be, people need to understand that because I think some people are a little... they don't quite get it. You know, they've only maybe shopped in the supermarket and they see things portioned out and how it comes, you know, and it looks just like that. You know, they may not realize that it does take some steps to get it to that point. And that's
right. They see it in the produce. Yeah, they see it in the produce center, and it's just not in its original packaging. So it's been cleaned up. It's been beautified.
Yeah. You know, I mean, when you pull a beet out of the ground, it's covered in dirt, completely covered in mud and dirt. You know, sometimes you get them that way at the store, but for the most part, they're rinsed off. So people don't really realize it. Well, maybe nowadays, people more and more. We're in a quote-unquote foodie world now, so everyone's out there trying to get it.
That's
which
true.
Is good.
This is true. Yeah. Well, I think it's brought a lot of awareness, I think, to folks, too, at home, what they're really eating from the grocery store every day, what it is that they are purchasing. I think that's what the foodie world has brought to consumers.
Yeah, I was watching an episode of Portlandia. I don't hardly ever watch that show the other day, but this just popped in my head now, that some guy had woken up from a coma. He was a punk rocker, and he was running around yelling at people, "Die, yuppie scum, die, yuppie scum," saying all that, and the two, you know, the stars of the show looked at each other and goes, "No, we're foodies.
Foodies. Foodies.
We're,
that's funny.
We need Diet Yuppies, so we're foodies. That cracked me up. Anyway, I did a tasting yesterday for a wedding, so I'm still a little scatterbrained from that. It's a lot of pressure to do something like that. It's, you know, I've cooked for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and that's not nearly as stressful as cooking for eight. I'm still a little giddy from that. You know, with eight people, if one of them sits next to their partner and looks and says, you know, I don't like this, and they go, well, you know what, me too, and before you know it, the other six don't like it either. Just like that.
Oh, that's interesting.
Boom.
It should be silent tasting.
Yeah.
They can mark it down on a card. Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, well, there's 300 people. If five people don't like something, who really cares? Right? Who really cares?
Possibly.
It's like, oh, yeah, I mean, the other 295 seem to be enjoying it, you know, so suck it up. But when they're just sitting there all together on a, you know, on a couch and really critiquing everything, oh, it's so tough. So let's see, what else have we got going on here? I know I'm trying to work on blogs, and you're making me feel so intimidated that yes, come on, we got this Gotta Feed the Kid thing. I got the URL a long time ago. You know what it's like. You've got to dive in. You can't just sit there and wade in the shallow end and think it's going to happen. You've got to get out swim. You know?
It is a scary moment.
And I'm that kind of person that I if I'm going to do it, I need to just do it. So talking about it for a long time seems easier than doing it. So in a sense, I'm doing what I shouldn't be doing. I'm waiting around in the kiddie area, you know, pretending I'm starting a website. It's driving me crazy. I'll talk about it for the next 6 or 8 months.
It's a lot of fun. It's fabulous. There's a lot of people that I've met, you know, through here. We started doing a highlight of cookbooks. And I thought that would be, you know, kind of a fun thing to open the gate with a few, kind of a new little genre and a new little area and meet new people. And a lot of things have happened since then. And let's put it this way. I now have a table that is filled with cookbooks that they send me.
Yours is turning into a machine. You know, you are now no longer, you know, standing there at the helm steering this thing and tugging it along and pulling the wagon yourself. You're actually now riding with it. So it's going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you stopped, it would probably stop, but it's now churning on its own because you have a team. The team is working. Everybody's contributing. So you can probably think back when you first started what an enormous amount of work it was just for yourself. It's still a lot of work now.
You have a
team, you know, and the team takes responsibility and, you know, they take pride in it. They have ownership. So that's the best part about it, what you've been
doing. And I'm grateful every day for every single person that, you know, contributes and gives their input. And even if, you know, this week or this month they have something else going and they can't contribute, they're still on board with, you know, sending me emails, hey, how about this, or I heard about this, or can we think about this? And, you know, it puts, or even sometimes, you know, I get on my high horse and I'm way up here, oh, this is what we're doing this, and somebody will kind of knock me off. Well, you know, how about if we, you know, that's kind of last month, how about if we, so it's great to have that input because I can look at a sheet of paper on my calendar and think, oh, this is what we're doing, you know, forever. And it's great to have real-world input. So I love every moment of their, you know, contributions. I don't care what it is, even if it's just a simple email, you know, tone it down. Or I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
I love them.
The team is really a critical thing. I know working in kitchens, the way I approach that is every single person is critical. So there's no one person any greater or any lesser than anybody else. You know, from the dishwasher to all the way up to the owner or whatever you want to go. you know, you can make all kinds of delicious and beautiful food, but if there's dirty plates, they can't eat the food. So
that's right.
Everybody's job is critical, very critical. Mm-hmm. And everyone, you know, I try to give everybody that sense of ownership also, and you build a better team spirit that way.
That's right.
Everybody
exactly.
feels like they've got a, yeah, they feel they're contributing.
Agree.
So it's nice that you allow them to cut you down and say, hey, cool, I got an
somebody
idea
needs
too.
To every now and then.
And then you can give them a dirty look and postpone all their posts till the following month.
Oh, there you go. I'm sorry, we don't have any room for you this month.
Right. Yeah, I love your ideas. Maybe next month.
Oh, that's funny. That's a good idea. I'm going to use that one. Yeah. You're sending me the papers. Oh, I lost it. What happened to your piece this week?
God, we got that new dog, and I printed everything out, and well, that's just scattered now.
Mm-hmm. There you go. There you go. No, and you know, how you're talking about bloggers, I am amazed at what some of these people do. I am fortunate enough, like you said, to have a team. I have a photographer. I have people. You know, a lot of the writers, like Ginger, she does all of her own photography. Ginger Johnson of Women Enjoying Beer. Everything that she sends me, you know, she has taken her pictures herself. She has developed her recipes. She does some amazing work. Some of the blogging
sites, Ginger
sites,
Johnson,
however,
yeah, raise a glass with Ginger. She's
the
founder
Ginger,
of Women Enjoying Beer. Does she also make beer?
Does she? No. I know her husband is a brewer. She does have a weekly radio show, Beer Radio. I adore her. She is a funky woman with a ton of exuberance. But some of these bloggers are just themselves. They do all of their photography. They do all of their recipe development. They do all of their coding. It is amazing to me how many hours they put into their site, and quite a few of them, I think probably more of them than not, have a full-time job. As well as what they do.
Now, that is amazing because...
That is amazing.
Yes. This is a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
Just being... I'm a part-time blogger, and it's a lot of work.
Right.
You know,
so those are the sites that our site likes to highlight. The people that, you know, the bloggers and the recipe developers that have put the time, the many, many hours per week, in addition to their already busy lives, you know, jobs, family, those are the sites that we really like to highlight in the showcase because they're very, very good at what they do. Their sites are clean. They're easy to navigate. There's not a lot of, you know, flashy ads and something that's going to give you some nasty malware on your computer. It's just it's that focus that they have in this food world and wanting to bring the best, you know, to their readers. They're amazing.
So what do you got coming up here? I know you just did a March Madness finger foods. What's April? What's going on for April?
Well, we have Easter. We have Easter coming up, so we are going to be really pushing entertaining ideas. You know, a lot of people are going to be heading to church Sunday morning, and then you have dinner afterwards on what can be prepped and done, you know, the night before.
Now, I don't want to give up any spoilers here or anything or give out any secrets, but I know deviled eggs are big on everybody's menus all the time.
Isn't that amazing?
Got any secrets you got going on? Got a deviled egg?
We do. Yes. Do I have any secrets?
You do.
You're going to have to read about them. But we do have some coming out. I love the fact that I think it was last year, really, when they started to make their debut back into the world again. I think you're probably close to the same age I am, and it seemed like when we were kids, deviled eggs was a huge thing.
Everywhere. You go to any family potluck, and at least two relatives brought deviled eggs.
Exactly, and they just kind of disappeared off of everybody's radar for a while.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, I always had a relative that brought the red velvet cake. I thought that was the grossest, weirdest, grossest thing when I was a kid. I didn't realize it was actually something popular. I think I associated it with the relative that was bringing it.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, no. Yeah. And so-and-so bought that red cake again.
and they bring the same one every year. You swear to God, it's like fruitcake. Somebody just passed it around. Right. No, but people love that red velvet cake. Yeah, and it is tasty. It is. It's really good.
Well, I did a little thing with deviled eggs one time, and I don't mind sharing. It's something I tell people about. I did it for a breast cancer awareness. I took the peeled, boiled eggs, and I dropped them into some beet juice. And that gave them, within a few seconds, the most beautiful pink color. So then you take them out of that beet juice, and you cut them in half, and you scoop out the yolk, and you make them just like regular deviled eggs after that. But you've got an outside that's pink. You've got the inside that's white with the yellow. So there, I just gave somebody a little trick out there if they want to try that one. Beet juice.
Oh, yes, such a cute little Easter idea, too, all that beautiful pastel.
Well, you could probably do that with a variety of different things, now that you mentioned Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you could do that with blueberries. You could probably make a yellow color with lemon peel. So there's a lot of things you could do there. There you go. That's a great idea.
I'm writing all these down. You know what? You can get credit for these. Look at that. This was Krista's idea.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, make a very, concentrated blueberry juice, so some beet juice, and the skins from lemons make it a really nice, soft yellow color.
Oh, beautiful. Well, thank you.
Lemons and onions. Get the onion skin there also. So... The red onions will also give you a kind of an interesting color too, but it's surprisingly enough, it leans more towards a brownish purple. It doesn't quite give you purple.
I think I could see that. Yeah.
Yeah, the purple onions, they seem to, it leans a different direction, but that's what an idea. I wonder what are the little colors. What if carrot
that
juice
is a great idea. Good?
I wonder if carrot juice, that would, how cool to get orange.
Probably.
Now, you just experiment. That's what I would suggest, just try all the different little juices. And
I'm jotting all this down while you're talking.
I'm making mental notes.
Are you?
I have part of my brain that I try to always use as memory. If I don't keep it memory active, then it seems to, I don't know. And then I forget every little thing, so the muscle, you just keep working it out.
Yeah, I'm positive mine is failing. I have to write everything down.
I had a renaissance occur when I was probably in my early 30s, where suddenly I could just remember things, I could just absorb and it would be there. And I remember all through college, couldn't do that. God, I had to just study and then remember and study again. So when I had that thing happen, I work on it now to try to keep it there. It comes and goes.
Mm-hmm.
Comes and goes.
Comes and goes. So, also for April, we are traveling down the coast for the RazorCon Festival. We're going to do some clamming and shrimping in May. We're going to take
shrimping.
Shrimping.
How cool.
Shrimp. I know. Isn't that cool?
Last
year, we went sturgeon fishing and... So this year, shrimping, some clamming,
Wow. I guess I just don't know enough about what goes on in the waters of the Pacific. I think, halibut, I don't think shrimp.
There are these small little spot shrimp. They're tasty. They're very, very tasty. Just kind of boil them up and then pop their heads off and eat them.
I wonder if you could eat the whole thing. I'd probably just want to drop the whole thing in boiling oil and just eat it like that. Like, I don't know if you've ever had that at a sushi restaurant when you get the ama ebi. The ama ebi is it's this fresh, sweet shrimp that they eat raw.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll fry up the head for you all nice and crunchy, and it's really thick, really, really tasty. So
I
wonder if these are similar.
I'm going to eat them with their heads on.
I wonder if these are similar like to that, and you could just pop the whole thing. Well, we're getting close here. This went so fast.
I know it did.
It went very fast. I don't know if people out there understand what this is like. When you start off and it's 1 minute past the hour, and you've got 29 more minutes to go. It looks like, oh my God. You know, that's a long time, but this one felt like 7 minutes altogether.
I know. I know. That was very good.
It did go quick,
didn't
it?
Thank you for making it so easy.
Well, thank you for being such a wonderful guest. You made it easy.
Well,
I want to be on your team.
You got, well, you are now. You just gave us deviled eggs. You are now.
There you go. Deviled eggs colored with fruit juices and vegetable juices.
Very natural coloring. I love that.
God, that's so foodie.
I know. What a gorgeous idea.
All right. Well, I think we're going to be wrapping this back up here. We've got RoboDrum probably going to be clicking in here any second. Big Bad Wolf. Thanks, everybody.
Okay, well.
You, Gary.